Dear friends who have the secret of what it means to rest in peace. You know that you do not need a tombstone to say that, to accomplish it. There was a lady who was focused beyond her husband's life. She felt that would be still a good thing. She wasn't overly devastated by his loss. When he passed away, she decided to honor him by putting a gravestone up that said, "Rest in peace" on it. Common. It does make a statement. What she had failed to do, though, was to check in with the lawyers about the will. And what she found out after was that he had been gambling and doing some bad investing. So she didn't have what she thought was going to be left. So she used a little bit of that money to make her point. She added three words to the tombstone: "Rest in peace until I get there." Well, you know that that's not biblical, and it's not the way we would treat anybody, especially a spouse. We simply wouldn't have that approach. We work through our problems here because we know we have peace there. And you know, this concept that is going to be the emphasis of Shabbat, the Sabbath, in this context today, has to do with rest. The Sabbath isn't just keeping a day, observing a law. It isn't about a ritual that God is going to like from us. It's about how we frame our hearts and how we treat our souls. The Hebrew word Shabbat is a simple word meaning rest. And we're going to see that it has a couple of different emphases: a day of rest and then the living rest that we have already. You know that you can only find true rest as it's connected with Jesus. He will say this at the end of our text: "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man," Jesus, "is Lord even of the Sabbath." And you can turn to page 11. There's my outline that we'll be talking about. The reality is found in Christ. The reality of rest is found in Jesus. We need a day of rest. You know, I wish I could just sign off on your work. You know, school's already out for some. A couple of you are still in school. But what if I could give every single person here off of work to tomorrow? You'd be okay with that? There'd be some excitement. And paid, nevertheless. You see, we all would like to have a special day of rest, maybe a week, maybe a vacation, maybe all summer. All you have to do to get that is graduate from high school and then go to a lot of high school parties. That's all they do, you know. The day of rest is tied in the Jewish culture to Saturday, the Sabbath, as God had prescribed among God's people. So if you wonder what a person is asking when they say, "You must go to church or worship on Saturday," you might be inclined to quote them back this text: that Jesus took the law away. He canceled the written code. He nailed it to the cross. You're going to see that the way the Pharisees treated him, as in the gospel, was that he didn't understand the law when he had already come to fulfill it. It is so very true that people today have that wage mentality, and they want to figure out how to be good enough to get into heaven. And yet, it is clear from the Old Testament scriptures, this is a shadow of what was to come. The substance is found in the Lord of the Sabbath himself. So the Sabbath is mentioned as a day of rest, just like God took the seventh day and he did nothing. But there's a deeper concept that should sink into our hearts, that this is a rest, not just from work, but a rest from a world that is broken, a world that only Jesus can repair. How people enter heaven is not by being good enough, by resting on their own laurels, their accomplishments, but by letting him be good enough. The Son of Man, or the offspring of Mary, Jesus, had a perfect life, and no one else could have, because he was born both of God and of human DNA. So when he says in Hebrews, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his, he is describing that God is the one who opens that door. And in today's world, so many people are working in their own minds and hearts to earn their salvation. It astounds me that with the gospel being so clear and with so many avenues of communication, that it still happens. People still miss it. It is clear in our catechism instructions that there's a different way to spell salvation. How do you spell it? D-O? Well, as Tom and I very clearly have been teaching, that is the law. Do or don't do is that concept that God puts a boundary down, which he did at Mount Sinai so that people would already begin to understand they needed something more. The third commandment is one of the top 10, God's list, right? It classifies as very important to God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The scriptures say, for it is by grace you have been saved through works, because no one can boast. None are righteous, he'll say in Romans chapter 3, not of themselves. So it's do, or it's done, done by Christ. And this is clear in catechetics, that the law will not rescue us. It shows us our sins, but then we need to see our Savior. So which is the Sabbath day? Is it Monday, Tuesday? I have a group of people that call it Thursday, and they're always here on Thursday nights. You see, because it's not the day, it's the behavior of thinking theologically, of taking time away from all this other stuff, thinking about God, thinking about our relationship with God. It's the healthy rhythm of work and rest, and it includes the soul. He constantly is saying work is good. If a man will not work, he should not eat, in 1 Thessalonians. And then he'll say in Exodus, 6 days you shall work, on the seventh day you should rest. So we need to build into our lives the concept of a day of rest. A day when we think about the more important things. We concentrate on the Word of God. We absorb, not just in worship, but in our whole day, we are aware that we simply are not good enough for God, but He has been good enough and gracious enough to us. Now, it'll sound a little bit like a commercial. Breathe right. Nasal strips help you breathe better so you can sleep better. Yeah, they supposedly silence snoring, what we all need. They give us good sleep. And it sounds pretty smart to use them, doesn't it? But I want you to think that rest is more than a nasal congestion problem. In fact, it's regrets that loom in our minds. It's our rueful fear over what we cannot fix, our remorse over things we said or did. And he even puts this in the Psalms, you've laid awake at night with tears of loneliness. All kinds of things cause us to sleep poorly. And it's almost like the devil's lullaby haunts us. He'll always be saying, you're not good enough. And maybe it comes back as a parent tape or a coworker. Maybe it's somebody from school that says, you don't measure up. And then we need to stop. And here, on the day of rest, it is declared that Jesus has canceled the written code with its regulations that stood against us and opposed to us. God made you alive with Christ. When we are rest robbed, laying awake because of our mistakes, or our hearts cauterized by fear, We are giving way to the law and to the devil. It is a healthy thing to worship regularly, to be in God's word, to impress on our minds and our hearts what God says, so that we can face each new day. The bags under our eyes might show that we are physically exhausted, but it's the bags under our heart that gives evidence that we have worn ourselves out. I want to prove that a little bit in this context with the gospel lesson, that the Pharisees really took issue with the disciples picking grain on the Sabbath. They were presumptive to Jesus that Jesus didn't know the law, or that Jesus wouldn't enforce the law. And so he stands ground with them and he says, that's not what the Sabbath is. It isn't just about stopping work and how many steps you take and whether you're fulfilling the externals. He says, it's about me. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And they shuddered to think that he could be equating himself with the great I am, but he is. You see, even Paul picks that up in Colossians here. It's such a desperate problem among human beings, first for the Jewish element that take God's declaration and constantly push on man's deeds, that Jewish people were very work righteous. And you swing over to the Greek element, they go into the mind and they philosophize and think that if we're smart enough, then we will accomplish what God has desired. It's almost as if they were saying in one direction or another, Jesus did some of the work, but we have a little bit more to do. We'll complete what he came to do. And this text says very, very clearly, you can't. There is one simple solution for spiritual apnea. It is the Word of God, and in prayer and listening to Jesus, you have a day of rest anytime you need it. But then, let's convert that into something deeper. Verses 16 and 17 show us the application. Here's now the Christian's response. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a Sabbath day. And what he's going to say is that these are a shadow of the things that are to come. Shadow. With all the promises of this luxurious life that we were guaranteed by technology, have you experienced it? Do you remember in the olden days, none of us have probably lived through it, that they had to do wash by hand? I mean, put it in a big tub of water and shove it all around and then wring it out by hand and hang it up. They called it a wash day. Well, I've got a washer. It takes me exactly 34 minutes to do it and about one to put it in. I open, turn it on, throw in the pod, and walk away, right? So is life that much easier? Take the computer, for example. Weren't we promised that everything would go smoother and easier with that computer? And I look at the levels of stress and the behaviors among us as the world ratchets tighter and tighter. And then comes the command of Scripture, be still and know that I am God. And we see Jesus walking alone in the hills, away from the crowd, and he's asking for God's direction and guidance. His own life, a role model of quiet time with God. And there we see the question, are we uncomfortable being alone with God? A pastor was talking with one of his parishioners who had kind of a forward personality, to say the least. He was one of those very domineering type people. And he came into church on Sunday and said, Pastor, I tried all day yesterday to get you. You could check your phone. I rang you 5 times, but you didn't answer. The pastor said, well, that's pretty easy to answer because Saturday is my day off. The man said, well, the devil never takes a day off. You shouldn't either. And the pastor said, if I don't take any time off, I would be just like him, meaning the devil. You see, this is how our body is quieted down so that our souls can catch up. A number of missionaries were moving through rainforest, and they had tribesmen as their trucks to carry all of their belongings. It's very difficult terrain. And so the tribesmen would carry these on their shoulders, and there were 20, 30 of them traveling with the missionaries. They started early in the morning, and it was perfect. Absolutely gorgeous weather, not many bugs, and they traveled successfully. They went much further than they had predicted, so the missionaries were excited to get into their destination early in the morning. And they got up early, and they gathered their stuff, packed up, and there was no movement among the tribesmen. Some of them were still asleep, and this was not what they had experienced the day before. Very strong, very aggressive kind of workers. And they just laid around. So finally, after an hour of waiting, they went to the leader of the tribesmen and said, "What's going on? Why aren't they moving? Why aren't we going?" And he said, "Well, we discovered that we traveled too fast yesterday, so we have to let our souls catch up with our bodies." Oh, what modern Americans couldn't learn. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Living in that rest means every morning, every night, you think about, you pray, you pick up the scriptures when you can, and you interact with that life that offers you peace. It may be that you spend the most quality time with your spouse, a child, a grandchild. And when you do, it is well-spent time. It might even be that you don't even talk. You're just together, and you really enjoy that. In Psalm 37, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." So apparently, the Apostle Paul got reamed out by one of the elders of the Ephesian congregation. It's a legend. The Apostle Paul, or the not Paul, Apostle John. John was that quieter, beloved disciple who would constantly remind them that they were loved by Jesus. He had, according to this legend, a passion for carrier pigeons. They were his pets. He loved to feed them, and he was out one day actually interacting rather aggressively with them. They were enjoying the food, and he was chuckling, and they were with all of their antics, and the elder arrived and said, "John, don't you think that this is a little frivolous behavior? Shouldn't you be attending to the scriptures and to prayer and to maybe writing letters?" And John said to him, "I need to take time just to be with my pigeons." The man kind of huffed a little bit and said again, "I think this is a waste of your time." So John pointed out something, used an analogy. He said, "You know your bow? Why is it unstrung?" Well, he said, "That's simple. If I don't unstring my bow, it won't be ready to shoot. It will have lost its power." And John said, "And I need to relax the bow of my mind so that I might be able to better shoot the arrows of divine truth." Some of us are traveling through life a little too fast. God is the one that comes to quiet us inside out. A quiet conscience in his presence, a calmness in his grace, and the blessing of regular rest. You know, on the cover, I put this down how he would declare it. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I," says Jesus, "I will give you rest." Have you learned that? It's about trust. It's about confidence in Christ. It's about forgiveness. It's about what you receive in just a moment as the body and blood becomes one with you. There it is. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, God made you alive with Christ. The reality of rest is found in him. Isn't it? Amen.